Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Just want to hopefully we present some good information today. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Max Grove.
Glenn Fink.
Good. Very good.
We have a special guest with us today. Max Grove is a college student in his sophomore year. And he's going to tell a little bit about himself before we get started. Go ahead, Max.
Well, you're putting your feet to the fire. Yeah.
Putting my feet to the fire. Yeah, I am a journalism, broadcast, and communication major, mostly focusing in radio and podcasting. I'm not so much a fan of being in front of the big screen. And really, I'm also family members with both Bob and Mary. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would call myself in that regard.
You're a grand nephew. How do you like that?
I've never heard that before. I didn't even know that word was a word you could use. But yeah, I'm just your basic college student.
Where do you go to college?
Columbia College, Chicago.
Chicago. And where is home?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. Country boy.
I guess. I'm not sure I would call Memphis country.
I don't think I would call Memphis country.
I think of Memphis, I think of Elvis.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more to Memphis.
There is, yeah. We also have blues, jazz. I mean, my family does have a farm, so you theoretically could call us country.
And I remember Beale Street in Memphis.
Oh, yes.
Because we were stationed there for a short bit of time when Bob was in the Navy. And you could just sit in the street and listen to the music.
How do they get the ships to Memphis?
Hey, listen, we had Navy stationed in Augsburg, Germany, which is landlocked. So there's no telling about the Navy. They're kind of crazy.
Okay, now where do we want to go, folks?
I want to start out with Robert Kennedy Jr.'s choice of a running mate. Now, he chose Nicole Shanahan, who is a political novice. She's not been involved in politics before. She supported George Gascon, the prosecutor who was in San Francisco that totally messed up law enforcement in the city.
Soros. He's a Soros
team. Yeah, he's a Soros guy. She has a lot of money. And I would describe her as a very sharp lady.
And why does she have a lot of money?
Because she was married to the guy who owned Google.
Yep, she's a Google person.
Yes. She donated $4 million to the Kennedy-aligned Super PAC that ran the Super Bowl ad supporting his candidacy. And
Let me ask you, is that the black and white one that they made look like the 60s for John F.K.?
I don't know. Yeah, probably, because it says that it was repurposed an ad from which John Kennedy Jr. used.
That was really eye-catching because, you know, I grew up in the 60s and I remember the Kennedy election. And I saw that ad and I'm looking now. Whose name is on this thing, you know?
Well, I remember living in Massachusetts in the 70s, and the joke was, if you walked into any Catholic house in Massachusetts in the 70s, and I'm talking Irish Catholic because that's what Massachusetts was, and it had a mantle. On one side of that mantle, you had a picture of the Pope, and on the other side, you had a picture of John F. Kennedy Jr. That was just the decor of Massachusetts in the 1970s.
You know, an interesting thing, I think I was doing some work and had Fox News on in the background. Apparently, from Fox News' polls, now I don't know the source of their polls, but this Robert Kennedy Jr. has about 13% of the vote going towards the November election.
You didn't get to find out the breakdown, how many Democrats, how many Republicans?
No, I did not. And again, I think probably an even bigger contention is how many states will he be allowed to be on the ballot?
Right, he's trying to get on the ballot. But, you know, now that he's picked Little Miss Far Lefty, any of the Trump people that were considering voting for him because of his vax stance, I think, are going to back off.
But I think 13% is more than Ross Perot got, isn't it?
It is. That was a comment that it was more than Ross Perot.
So you know, those polls in actual voting can vary a lot. I mean, sometimes at the beginning, people will say, well, I want to vote for so-and-so just to create some turmoil and to kind of perhaps shift things. But when it comes down to the actual voting, I hope that people have the good sense to realize that a vote for a third-party candidate, you might as well stay home. It's not going to really going to affect it. It usually doesn't. It can in some cases. But this Robert Kennedy, this lady he selected, she's far left, but he's far left too. Look what he wants to do with the environment. You can't get any further to the left than he is with the environment. And these environmental stances will destroy our economy if we continue down this road towards this zero CO2 emissions and so on and so forth. So to me, I'm glad that he picked someone that reinforces the perception of him as a leftist. So therefore, hopefully people who are tending in that direction will be the people voting for him. I can't imagine a Trump voter picking this guy and his vice president now as someone they'd vote for. They'd have to do a complete backflip.
One of the things that I think it is important to remember is that Kennedy did do an awful lot to inform the country about what was really going on with COVID and the COVID vaccines. That is the only thing that he has done that I think is on the right track and in support of the people. But it wasn't just with COVID and the COVID vaccines. It's all of the vaccines. And if anybody that is in their 60s and looks back at their childhood vaccination record, you will find that there's less than 8 vaccines that we were required to have to be in school, and now there's upwards of 70. They didn't used to require what they're requiring now for the vaccinations, and I still think that he is correct. This is not ever been proven, but he indicates, Robert Kennedy indicates, there's a direct link between autism and vaccines, and I believe that. Before they put the MMR together, when it was a measles shot and then a mumps shot, you know, when they were separate, before they combined them, there was not the incidences of vaccine intolerance and autism that there is now. So I just want to give him a plug and where he's due is the good deeds, but his environmental policies would kill us.
Well, has he proven causation or correlation?
Both. Both. He has a quite an established website called Children's Health Defense Network, and I follow that. And there's been a lot.
Well, I think he's shown the manipulation of the CDC and all of those health quote health agencies and how they've been manipulated, not necessarily for the good of the public.
As far as the vaccines go, I'm not sure it's the vaccines as much as we're concentrating them earlier.
That's my point. And when they combine them, it's too much of attack on the body
at one time. We need to spread them out again.
I agree.
And I think it's not necessarily the vaccines. It's the way we're administering them.
You know,
and because the increase in autism since about 1978 is scary.
You know, it's troubling when we talk about these kinds of situations where you could find a candidate that might have a very good stance on an issue that's important to you. What worries me is people who vote based on one issue. The totality of the person you're voting for is what should be considered.
I agree.
Nobody has everything that you're looking for. There's going to be some things that are amiss. But on the other hand, you know, as we saw with the influence of the abortion issue in the 2022 election, apparently that for a lot of people, that was enough to dictate their vote, issue, regardless of what people are going to do about it. All the other issues facing this country. And I hope that people will look at the totality of what the person brings to the office, particularly in the case where we already know what the person's going to do.
Right.
That's the, to me, that's the significance of this election over a lot of the other presidential elections. Before, you had two people who perhaps, you know, you didn't know what they were going to do. Or you have one that's running that you knew what he was going to do. In this case, you know what both of them are going to do.
Right.
There's going to be, should be no surprise of what you're voting for. But I hope people look at the totality of the individual.
Alan, one of the things I think that was interesting about the abortion
industry
was the number of scare tactics that were used. And one of the things that that really bothers me is to hear, and sometimes we've heard Republicans say it, well, we need to put a law in place that in federal law that eliminates abortion. No, that is as unconstitutional as Roe versus Wade does. That, according to the 10th Amendment, is a state's issue. It's not a federal issue. And if you don't like what a state is doing, go to the next one. You know,
I agree with you 100% because I thought that was settled, that the states were going to decide, and then all of a sudden these politicians at the national level, they want to pass a national position on it. They should stay away from it.
Well,
let the states decide.
The women are screeching so loud, they haven't figured out yet that the Supreme Court returned the issue to the states. So they have more power over abortion policy than they had at the federal level.
Yeah, it's a local issue.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. And thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, now, Alan, you have something that you wanted to bring in.
Yeah, we had something happen the other day. I think it was Monday that was very unusual. And it was unusual because we, the United States, refused to support Israel in the United Nations. Now, normally over the years, there's been a couple of instances where we have not supported them, but we've generally been pretty reliable supporting Israel because they tend to take positions that we agree with, okay? But what happened was there was a resolution by the UN Security Council, which I believe is made up of 15 countries. Five of them are permanent members, and the other 10 rotate. And what happened was apparently they came up with a resolution that Israel should cease their military offensive against Hamas with no conditions required of Hamas. They wouldn't have to release any hostages. They wouldn't have to surrender, which would, if they wanted to stop, they could just surrender. But they wouldn't do anything. And the, but the interesting thing about it was the United States, which normally you would expect to support Israel by vetoing the resolution, we elected, or Biden administration, not we, Biden regime elected to abstain from the vote, which that allowed the resolution to go forward, because the resolution to go forward has to have unanimous consent of the 15 members. In this case, because we abstained, they had 14 consensual votes, but it did go forward. Not that Israel's going to comply, but interestingly enough, Israel's government was going to send a delegation to Washington in response to, I guess, in terms of trying to facilitate the relationship, and Netanyahu, he just pulled the plug on it. They did not send them. So we are at the position with the Biden regime that we are separating ourselves from Israel. And why the Biden regime is doing this? What you got to do is look to Michigan and what was it, Minnesota?
Minnesota. Yeah.
Where they have apparently a significant Muslim population that voted non-committal in the primaries. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
That they would not vote either for or against. And I believe that he's trying to court these much-needed votes in these swing states that you can't, he cannot win without Michigan, is what I understand. So
I'll also put some perspective in here because I'm from a different generation. But I can tell you that almost no one in my generation supports Israel.
Why?
I am not informed enough on the situation to actually answer that question.
See, that's the point. Everyone says we're not for it, but they can't tell you why.
Well, I don't vote either way because I'm not informed enough. And as a journalist, I think it's incredibly important to inform myself enough to be able to speak on a subject. But I can tell you the people that I do know, the only people I know that support Israel, have family there.
Are you a Bible-believing Christian?
No. Well, I'm not.
Okay, because that answers some questions as well, because the Bible commands us to support Israel and that Israel is God's chosen people.
But I can also tell you I know people that are Bible-loving Christians that still don't support Israel. I think the best way I can explain it is a lot of people in my generation don't like the war at all. Of course, nobody does, as you shouldn't. But a lot of people feel as it's very one-sided, and it's not so much fair to support one side that is striking the other side for reasons that don't seem to be accurate.
Well, Israel was attacked.
I agree with that.
So for them not to be expected to defend themselves and destroy, how is that any different than when we went in to destroy ISIS?
I think the big difference is that the response is much larger than the initial attack, is what a lot of people have explained to me. I'm not fully updated on the story. I haven't followed it very well, mostly because I'm in college and
very busy.
Very busy, and also I don't always need something awful on my mind all the time. But from my friends who are very educated on the subject, I have a friend back home who is incredibly interested in politics, and her and I talk about politics all the time. It just, to her, her understanding of it is that the original attack was bad. No one's going to say anything against that. But it feels as though rather than a response to attack Hamas, it's actually a response against Palestine as a whole.
There is no Palestine.
That's the first problem.
Yep, right. That's your first problem.
And instead of feeling like it's a retaliation, it more so feels like the initial response might have been retaliation. Sure, it's gone on too long and too much to be that at this point.
I was just going to say that, when somebody, a bunch of terrorists attack us, it's not about retaliation in a measured approach. You research and you understand who did the attack, and you go to eliminate them. And that's what they're in the process of doing.
And the problem is that in the Gaza Strip, Hamas was democratically elected.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically, 75% of the people in the Gaza Strip support Hamas. So when you talk about, first of all, nobody knows the condition of the hostages at this point, which is a little scary. They've been there a while. There are reports coming out about abuse and stuff like that, but nothing in the Middle East reporting should be trusted unless you're there looking at it. I mean, there's propaganda on both sides.
The
Palestinians are an Arab tribe, just like the other Arab tribes. They have never had a homeland, and the other Arabs are not willing to give them a homeland. Jordan was originally set up as a Palestinian state, and then the Hashemites got involved in Lawrence of Arabia and a lot of other things. And when the Palestinians were living in Jordan, because they were for a while, they tried to overthrow the government, at which point they were no longer welcome, which is why the Egyptians won't let them in, because they have a history of trying to overthrow the government wherever they are. The two-state solution, which is what our country erroneously is pushing for, will not work. Hamas is already on the record of saying we want to do October 7th again. The Hamas charter says we will drive the Israelis into the sea.
Exactly.
That's a problem. Would you be comfortable living in a house with a next-door neighbor who said, I want to kill you and steal your stuff? That's what we're asking Israel to do.
Well, I think one of the arguments that comes up, and it might be, Max, that maybe you can shed some light on this. If you go for our country, back, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Iraq or anything like that, we're not running battles to completion. We don't go in to win the war. We go in to support the industrial complex,
right.
The military-industrial complex. We don't go in to win the war. And I think we see that in what also in Ukraine versus Russia. We're supporting our own industry.
I agree.
I'd like to respond, go back to what Max first said, which I think is very important and concerning. And when Max said he didn't know anybody in his generation that supported Israel. Now, I can understand there being some people who support and some people who oppose. But it raises for me the question is, where is your generation getting their information and knowledge from and their facts from? Because your wisdom is a function of where you get and what type of input you get to make your final decision and take your position. And that concerns me. Where are you getting, where is your generation getting their information from?
I would say you'd be surprised a lot of places, actually. I think personally, as a journalist, I get my information from sources I can fact check. I think one of my favorite would be something like The New Yorker or BBC, places that I can trust will probably be non-committal to either side.
BBC.
They're not from America, so.
No, they're lefties, but go ahead.
Realistically, that's where a lot of people I know get information to, not the specific sites, but places like that.
Public school?
Public school, I'm not so sure.
Growing up, do you feel like you were led to feel one way?
You didn't go to public school.
I did not.
Okay.
I also went to 8 schools, so my view on that kind of thing is very different than most.
Mm.
I haven't been in a school for longer than 2 years, except for my middle school.
Okay.
And the reason I raised that question is I attended a meeting last week where there was a group of conservatives looking at what they could do to encourage younger people to get out and vote. Okay, that sounds all well and good. However, unless you can be assured that the younger people have access to enough information to make good independent decisions, you may actually be fostering your own destruction because you're encouraging people to vote who may be indoctrinated or not having access to the information necessary to make a good decision. So, you know, I think that's a legitimate concern. I mean, I would sure love to debate with somebody, and we're not here to debate the issues.
Well, they don't hear the regime. They don't hear from the regime media that Hamas continues to shell Israel.
And has been since even before Hamas took over under the Palestinian
Authority.
I just have one question, and I don't necessarily want an answer. I just want to throw the question out. Why is our government pushing a ceasefire in Israel and not in Ukraine?
Because they're not trying to cover their butts on illegal pharmaceutical bioweapon places.
Biden was in charge of Ukraine when he was vice president. He's got money that goes there and then comes back.
That's you said it much better, but the point's the same.
Yes.
I think even my generation would agree with that reasoning.
Oh, good. Hey.
Yeah, we're not such a fan of anyone right now because money runs deep.
Yes, it does. It
has a lot of influence, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Make sure you quote that right.
Again, we're unwilling to see wars go to completion.
Well, the problem is that it isn't the people in power that are sacrificing their lives. It's our sons and daughters and grandchildren and nieces and nephews that are shedding blood and dying. And these people are getting rich on places, doing things we shouldn't be involved in.
That's true.
That's very, very true, yeah. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, folks. Again, we're going to go into a new free-for-all, and I just want to say, again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. And we're going to go to Fannygate.
It's time for the Fannygate report. Fanny says that she's getting a lot of love from the people in Atlanta, and that
some things don't change.
The train is still coming for Trump. which is an extrajudicial statement that by ethics of prosecutors she's not allowed to make. But apparently the rules don't bother Miss Fannie Willis. What I want to talk about is what happens to the appeal of Judge McAfee's motion, or his order. I'm sorry. The order he gave where he split the baby.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy resigns, she can still be there, blah, 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 that one. The one where he said there's still an odor of mendacity. I like that one. Any rate, McAfee had to give permission to allow them to appeal his order.
Okay.
Because remember I gave you that thing on orders. Most of them, you have to wait till the trial's over before you can appeal. They asked the judge for permission. He gave them permission. Now it's up to the Georgia Court of Appeals whether or not to hear it.
And that would be hearing whether the judgment on her keeping her job and him keeping his job. What is?
Yes. Yes.
So they're saying the appeal would be for a new ruling.
Yes.
Okay.
A new ruling that he didn't make.
Well,
I'm going to say he's looking for a ruling that he didn't make because he's up for election.
Yeah. Yes. No, what they're going to look for on the Court of Appeals level is whether or not the facts, he found facts. One of his facts is an odor of mendacity still prevails. All right. They're going to look at his application of the facts to the law, and if he made a mistake in the law, they're going to remand it back to him to fix it.
There's perjury on both sides of Nathan's.
McAfee didn't find perjury.
And you can only appeal on what was found, right?
You can only appeal on what he ordered.
From the phone records and from the emails,
The Court of Appeals cannot substitute facts for the ones that the judge found.
And not beholden to the fact that the judge and his wife both contributed to Fannie's campaign.
It was not brought up.
That is such conflict of interest. He should have recused himself.
Yes, he should have.
Because they gave money to Fannie. Matter of fact, I believe Fannie used to be his boss.
Mm-hmm. For a little while.
How is that even allowed?
You know,
judges have to recuse themselves. You can ask them to recuse, but they don't have to.
I went to be on a jury trial, they asked us to recuse ourselves. If we knew the lawyers or the defendants or any of the witnesses, and that wasn't even for someone who could really hurt anybody. One of 12 or whatever's on a jury.
So you took the opportunity to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I either need to recuse myself or not recuse myself.
Right.
Yeah, because they ask you, can you believe that the defendant is guilty until the state proves him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? And if you can't hold that in your mind until after you hear the evidence and the jury discusses it, then you don't belong on this jury. Now, everybody says in the jury pool, oh, yeah, I believe that.
And
they
We need to keep in mind that Pat is speaking as an attorney and as a former district attorney, so this isn't opinion on.
And the harder thing to accept is that, in theory, you mentioned as a prosecutor, you're only going to bring a case that you think you can win.
You have to have a reasonable belief that you can get a conviction. And if not, you're not supposed to file it.
So that's where we're all tossed with this lawfare as we see it.
Right.
Well, what concerns me is the bigger issue about what the judicial system is doing and the degree to which most people, including myself, have no confidence or lost confidence in the judicial system. We have these cases. Glenn had mentioned one earlier at the break about this ridiculous fine they levied on Trump up in New York. What was it, $450 million? And then they reduced it to $175, and they think that's some sort of a victory on this case for which there were no victims and there was no evidence that anyone was ever harmed. And the entire judicial system, in my opinion, is really letting this country down. There's another case in Texas. You know, Texas, because the Biden regime has failed intentionally to enforce the border rules and regulations to protect our country from invasion. They are not doing their job. So Texas begins to take steps to try to step into the void and to do something to protect not only Texas, but actually it's the rest of the country. But what happens? The Biden regime goes to court and they get a single judge who says to Texas, you can't do that. Okay? Now, this is a system. I don't think our founding fathers ever envisioned a system where we, our country, is being ruled by a group of oligarchs, i.e. judges.
Right.
These judges are doing what they want. They're clearly prejudiced in most of these cases against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other cases in which I assume as an attorney, you select certain judges because you're more likely to get a certain result.
It's called judge shopping.
And, you know, several years ago, I read a book in which the author was talking about the possibility of how to correct this. And what he said, in fact, I wrote a resolution about this a couple of years ago, got all the attorneys and judges all upset. But what it basically said was that if you believe that the power of the government is in the hands of the people, not oligarchs, okay? Not bureaucrats, it's in the hands of the people. So the solution to this is that judges' decisions can be overridden by the legislature. For example, the Supreme Court in North Carolina has been fighting this photo ID thing for what, 4 or 5 years?
10 years.
If they had their way, we would never have it. In spite of the fact that the people voted for it, the legislature voted for it, and it was actually signed by the governor at that time. But here we are, have a few judges sitting up there in their little robes, and they are telling the rest of the people, we need a system in place that puts the power of the government back in the hands of the people, not these oligarchs, you know, one or two judges, they make a decision. And, you know, it's got to be corrected because with this, they're taking us in the wrong direction. I mean, one more, if Biden gets to appoint a Supreme Court judge and we get back to a left-leaning U.S. Supreme Court, this country, there's no stopping it. And so, you know, when I made that resolution, boy, the attorneys and the judges in that convention, boy, they got up in arms about it.
Freedom.
But I think we need to look at it as a society, is the who is calling the shots. It's no longer the people.
Freedom is an illusion that we're allowed to have as long as we comply.
The judge in the D.C. case, Alan, her name's Tanya Chutkan. She, before she was appointed to hear the Trump D.C. case, said that Mr. Trump belongs in jail. Now, it's obvious that she's not neutral, and she should have recused herself, but she didn't.
Well, I don't like Trump either, but I liked his policies. Just because I don't like a person doesn't mean that they have no intrinsic value.
Yeah, well, put his personality aside. The point is, like Alan said, our judicial system is not working as it was intended to work, and it's affected the public respect for the judicial system.
Only the judicial system. Because when you look at a Department of Justice that in the past 6 months brought in a SWAT team on somebody who had been standing outside an abortion clinic and protesting, and rather than call him and say, we need you to report to court because we're going to put you on trial because somebody pushed your kid and you pushed back, they brought a SWAT team into his house with his family at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, did you see the video from Diddy Combs?
No.
Puff Daddy? They went into his homes. I think he has three homes. They went into his homes, all armed, wearing their tactical gear, holding their rifles up, looking like this. What the hell?
Do?
Actually pointing the laser on the kids.
Oh, no.
Mm.
And Roger Stone is another example. Roger Stone is an elderly gentleman with a deaf wife. They had a SWAT team in the water behind his house. They notified CNN that they were bringing a SWAT team. And he had said, I will come to court with my lawyer. There was no problem.
Who was the journalist from January that was there January 6th that likewise
is just got arrested?
Have a double standard. There's a double standard of justice for sure. If you just want to look at the document case differences between Biden's documents and Trump's documents.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a two-tier system of justice, and it's based on feelings.
And you also had the 2020 summer rioters that were burning things down and people died.
They were peaceful riots.
And Kamala Harris is raising money for their bail. And you have the January 6 people that walked through the Capitol that are still in jail. Something's wrong with that picture.
After we come back, I will finish discussing the what happens in the Georgia Court of Appeals. We kind of went down
a little bit.
But the Puff Daddy guy, I hear that has connections to child trafficking.
Yes.
So that's a little different than some of these other cases.
You need a SWAT team.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but at the same time,
there's more here than meets the eye.
Yeah. Might have had reason to be concerned, but it's not like he had an arsenal of people at every window like we see in the mafia movies.
Understood.
No, and there's one person that works for him that apparently had some illicit drugs. But nobody was a trafficker.
A rapper had illicit drugs? Oh, I'm so shocked.
Folks, we're going to take another quick
break. I tell you.
We're taking another quick break. We'll be right back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, folks. Again, we're coming right back to Pat. You want to finish? You're never going to finish this, but
we kind of got down a rabbit trail. But at any rate, I was trying to explain what happens to the appeal of Judge McAfee's order. They gave the permission. Judge McAfee gave them permission to appeal. It'll be assigned to a staff attorney who will review the application and any supporting materials, and he will provide a memo to the judge recommending whether the appeal should be granted or denied. The court has 45 days to act, so decisions are quick. The court thinks 45 days.
40 days is quick, yeah. Hold your breath. Hold your breath on that.
Court of Appeals Rule 30A provides factors that favor review. The most important one here will be whether there's a need to establish clear precedent to refine and guide the trial court. Defendants will have to argue that precedent is insufficient and this is a good vehicle. The other key is this: is there reversible error? That's what the Court of Appeals always look like. That's where he's applied the facts to the law, but he got the law wrong. Okay, that makes reversible error. Even if there might be a need for some clarification around the law, the Court of Appeals may not necessarily see the need to step in and reverse McAfee if they think he essentially got it right. That may be the biggest hurdle for the defendants. The appeals are heard by a three-judge panel. Only one judge on a panel needs to agree to hear the appeal. It takes all three to deny the appeal.
Oh, wow.
So that's what's going on down there. Now, up in New York, the Court of Appeals allowed Trump to only put up only $175 million instead of the $454 million. And I read just this morning that Chubb Insurance was the only backer that was going to cover the whole bond until they got some static from various entities in New York, and they backed off. At any rate, it's going to have to go to the Court of Appeals. It's going to wind its way through there. And then it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court in New York. They don't call it the Supreme Court. The lower court's called the Supreme Court. It's going to go through there. And then it's going to go to the feds, the federal court, because if you only have state issues, you have to stay in the court, the state court system. But if you have a federal issue, you're entitled to go to federal court, and this is an Eighth Amendment issue, excessive fines. So it's going to take a while for the one in New York. It may take 2 years.
Pat, the judges in the Georgia case, the three judges, are they appointed or elected, and is this likely to be a partisan issue as well as in the district?
I don't know for certain, but I would guess they're elected.
If I'm just being a little bit nasty here, but if I were President Trump, I would go ahead and pay the fine in pennies.
Ooh.
He doesn't have $454 million.
No, I mean the $170 million in pennies.
That's a lot of pennies.
No, you don't want to piss off the Court of Appeals. Well, they're his best bet right now.
Now I have a question, because in that New York case, they were rolling up the money due at essentially $100,000+ a day at interest on the days that he wasn't paying. If he does pay this $175 million, or whatever it is, does he gain interest on it for as long as the state holds that money?
I think the state has to put it in an account that draws interest, but I don't know if he gets the interest.
Oh.
Well, it's interest. The thing that scares me, and I use that word on purpose, about the New York case, there was no person harmed. The bank said they would love to do business with him again because he paid everything back. Everything was done. What's to stop any state with a budget problem from going in and seizing the assets of a business on a similar charge? Because I can assure you that Trump Enterprises was not the only real estate company that was overvaluing their property. And I can also assure you that the banks appraised it before they gave the loan.
Everybody,
and considered the risk.
Everybody overvalues. If you want to sell this house, you're going to overvalue it, and they're going to come back with a counteroffer, and then you guys are going to move back and forth till you agree on a price that you want.
Yeah.
So Trump said, my properties are worth X, and the potential buyers would say, no, I think it's worth Y. That's the way real estate is done.
But there was also a disclosure in every contract that says this is our valuation.
Exactly.
Do your own due diligence.
Well, the banks are going to do that anyway. But the point is, like you said, there are no victims. So where's this restitution going? Hang on a minute.
Money goes to the state.
Yeah, I know.
Which means the state can do this to anybody.
Well, that's what the investors in New York are worrying about. If you fall politically afoul of the people in charge, this may happen to you. And so right now, there's foreign entities that are deciding, well, I don't know if I want to put my money in New York. If this could happen to him, it could happen to us. And Letitia James was pointed out to her, and she said, well, the last time I looked at Wall Street, they're doing fine. Well, that's not where you need to look, Letitia. And the other point that Jonathan Turley made was she doesn't realize how hard it's going to be to take those assets because they're leveraged. They're intricate partnerships, and she's going to have to unwind that. There's going to be lawsuits around it. And the state right now gets tax revenue from those businesses. Mm-hmm. When they take it over, now they have to pay to run it. No more tax revenue.
They have to maintain it.
Yeah, they have to maintain it. They have to pay the people and pay their Social Security and all that stuff. So it's not a very bright thing. She making points with ignorant people.
My issue was leading to a question on the litigation over the valuation of specifically Mar-a-Lago. When Trump was going after this loan, and in the contract for the loan they talked about the asset value, was the company, the bank that made the loan, did they do their own appraisal? And if so, what was their valuation? And couldn't that be used as evidence against?
Well, I don't know how much Mar-a-Lago sold to Trump for. I don't know any of that. But what I can tell you is that, remember that there was no trial. This was a summary judgment. Letitia put in her order, her proposed order, what she thought all of his properties were worth. The judge stamped it.
Erdogan thought it was $18 million.
She said it was $18 million.
And that's the question.
But now it's worth $245 million.
Well, that's the question, because the $18 million valuation, if the bank did their own appraisal, they should have had a number for every asset.
Yeah, but this is Letitia.
Well,
that's where the $18 million came from, Kim. I'm not understanding your question, obviously.
I'm just thinking that if the bank was going to make the loan, they would make sure that the money that they were loaning had the collateral behind it to support it, meaning $18 million that came from from Letitia when they were saying that he overvalued his properties to obtain the loan. Like what you were saying earlier, if I value this house at X and you value it at Y, we come up with Z.
Right.
So why is the bank that said there were no victims, we'd like to give them more money, everything was paid back, why didn't the bank testimony? Because I know they testified.
They did.
I know they testified. Why didn't their accounting come into play in this verdict?
The judge ignored it.
They had already concluded that Trump was guilty before they even got to that
phase. It wasn't a trial.
It wasn't a trial.
And the other thing, too, is real estate is like a lot of assets. It has no specific worth except what the buyer is willing to pay for it. Your house, if you want to sell it, you can estimate what you think it's worth and the bank can estimate it. What it boils down to is the purchaser. The purchaser determines the value of that item when they purchase it.
And
this is, you know, this stuff, what you think it is and all this stuff and what the bank thinks it is, those are all estimates.
But I'm trying comes to down tell to the you sale. That there is an appraisal process that happens. The bank isn't going to give you a loan on a house if they don't think it's worth that.
There was testimony on that.
That's my point.
But the judge ignored it.
But pay no attention to that. I mean, let's look at the other thing that happened this week, okay? What happened to Trump's net worth? Well, when you look at Truth Social combining with another company, all of a sudden his billions have doubled. Now, there's something in business, you know, when you're talking about businesses and acquiring a business, there's something called goodwill which is not a physical asset. The goodwill of a company. I mean, here, all of a sudden, he doubled his billions just because two companies combined.
Well, the stock fell 14% after the merger was announced.
Well, that's also...
Orange Man, bad!
But that's also Orange Man's folks can buy up the stock right now.
Yeah. You had something to say. How much time do we have left?
We've got about 2 minutes, exactly.
The election. Let's talk about the election for a minute.
We're having an election.
We're having another election, another primary, because... there were two, the lieutenant governor's race and the auditor's race, where nobody got 50%. So in-person early voting starts April 25th. The early in-person early voting ends May 11th, and May 14th is Election Day.
Is Election Day for those two elections.
For those two.
And the early voting, I guess there's been some discussion about how do you get your early voting.
If you want an absentee ballot, you have to ask for it by May 7th. And the voting is downtown.
Yes, every precinct will be open Election Day, every precinct in the county. However, all the early voting will be the one stop downtown only. They won't be open in Vanceboro and Cove City and Havelock like they were in the previous early primary.
That was very smart, and I think that's minimum required, and Susan Williams made a great choice on
that. Yes, and that will keep the cost down also.
Yeah, I think because this is an election, I'm not sure even whether the state's going to cover the cost for each of the counties. We don't know. We don't know. Okay, folks, we're going to end the show now. By the way, I'm going to suggest that you go out and look at the Bill of Rights and the Ten Amendments, and that you bring those to you. You memorize those Bill of Rights, because we're so far astray from those Bill of Rights.
Yes, we are.
We're very, very far away from those. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Have a wonderful week.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m., and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.